Amen. Well, it's good to see everybody through the homebrew meeting tonight. Amen. It's just a wonderful honor and a privilege to go ahead and stand before you and continue with Wilderness Truths from Modern Times. This is number 73, Wilderness Truths from Modern Times, number 73. But before we get into that and what the Lord would have for us here, let's go ahead and do a little review of what we looked at last time. You know, there's two ways that we learn. The number one way we learn is by asking questions. That's why little kids always bug us and it's always saying, why? Well, they are learning. And so the second way that we learn best is by review. You know, once you hear something, especially in God, but you don't get it, you're probably going to have to hear it again, and you might get some of that, and then if you hear it a third time, then you're going to start getting it. And so the best way that we can learn, especially the things from God, is by review. Taking notes, writing down your notes, and so forth and so on, and reviewing them again and again. So you know, if you're listening, please you take notes and review. Amen? So let's go ahead and review what we talked about last time. We were in the wilderness of Moab. You know, as we stepped through all of these wildernesses, from the beginning, we started at Goshen, and we left, and we went through the Red Sea and Sur, and we went through Sinai and Kinemoth and all of the different wildernesses. And so now we are up. There were eight wildernesses, as a matter of fact, and now we're up to Moab. And, of course, Moab was one of those wildernesses, actually was one of two wildernesses that we were not supposed to linger in. And Moab is the wilderness of fear, amen? We looked at fear last time. Moab is the wilderness of fear. You know, there's something about fear, because we all go through fear, amen? We all go through fear, and we are not supposed to linger in the wilderness of Moab. But that is our choice. That is our choice. And, of course, the wildernesses that we looked at of the children of Israel, they relate to the spiritual significance of spiritualness in our life. And so there are many Christians today that are in the wilderness of Moab, in the wilderness of fear. And we're not supposed to linger there. We're supposed to go through that. But if we don't go through that and we get stuck in that, well, that's not God's intentions. Amen? Lack of trust in God is the origins of fear in our life. Let me say that again. Lack of trust in God is the origin of fear. So if we are operating in fear, or if there's fear in our life, it is because we are not trusting God to take care of that fear. Wow, boy, I say that is that would preach well in a lot of lives, amen? So we have to trust God, and the more we trust God, the less fear we will have in our life. The third point that we looked at last time, as lack of godly character and disobedience are the causes that lead to defeat. And both were seen in Moab. Fear and defeat was seen in Moab. And of course, they come out of lack of trust in God and disobedience. So the less we trust God and the more disobedient we are because we're not trusting God, then the end product of that will be fear and will be defeat. And that is not God's intention in our life. Amen? Because the fourth point that we looked at is there is no defeat or fear in God. Wow. There is no defeat. If you're looking for defeat, you're going to have to look somewhere else. If there's no defeat in God, there's only victory in God. There is no defeat in God, nor is there any fear in God. And the verse we looked at was 1 Timothy 1:7. Now, I want to unpack this a little bit. Amen? 1 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power. And it doesn't say that God has given us love. Amen? That verse doesn't say that. It says He's given us power. Acts 1:8, God gave us power. Amen? But that verse says, and of love. And it says, and of a sound mind. That and of, if you look at that, is an ability to. That's what that and of means. There's an ability to of love. And there's ability to have a sound mind. because it is our responsibility to allow God to work in our life and to work the love into our life and to work that soundness of, you know, to put on the mind of Christ. So that's up to us. If we want the love of God in our life, then we need to allow God to work in our life and allow, and, you know, do his dealing and judgments and bring the place of love in us and of that sound mind, the same thing. So many Christians, they quote this verse and they expect God to make them love. Well, I mean, God is love, but, you know, it's going to take more than just believing that I'm going to have love or I'm just going to be lovely and stuff like that. Doesn't happen that way. It will require God's work in our life. And I will tell you that God working in our life can be very, very painful, because when we want to be of love, that means we have to realize that we're not of love, and that we're going to have to allow God to take those things in our life out of our life so that his love can be left and present. Amen. Tremendous. Tremendous truth right there, amen. Let's go ahead and get into Wilderness Truths for Modern Time, number 73. Joshua 18 and 12. We'll go ahead. That will be the verse that we will look at now. Joshua 18 and 12. It says, "And their border on the north side was from Jordan, and the border went up to the side of Jericho on the north side and went up through the mountains westward, and going out therefore were at the wilderness of Bethaven," at Bethaven. So now we were in Moab, and right by Moab, believe it or not, is Bethaven. Now, believe it or not, Bethaven is in the right direction, because we were looking at the wilderness before Moab, which was Kinnemoth. And Kinnemoth was the wilderness where God wanted the children of Israel to move in there and receive their inheritance, receive the blessings. But they had to go left. They had to go left. But what did they do? And Kinnemoth, they went right. And they went right into Moab. But off of Moab, on the left, is the wilderness of Bethaven. Amen? The wilderness of Bethaven. So avoid the wilderness of Bethaven. Avoid this wilderness. The wilderness of Bethaven is the second wilderness which should be avoided by the believer. Again, the first one is Moab, fear and defeat. And Bethaven is the second wilderness. Bethaven is two names in the Hebrew text. Beth means house of, Strong's 104, or 1004, and other words, Aven, which means wickedness, Strong's 205. Vanity is also tucked into the meaning of Aven, given its Hebrew word for wickedness, a particular shade of significance. Amen? So that word Bethaven means house, wow, of wickedness. Wow, ooh, boy. Well, you know, words matter in the Bible. You know, not so much in America, and not so much, you know, well, yeah, it's not so much in America. Words really don't matter, but I will tell you, in the world and in the Bible, words matter. What we say really, really matters. Americans, they seem to have lost that a little bit. You know, they just say and they speak and they talk. But words matter outside the United States, I will tell you that. Amen? The wilderness of Bethaven is the opposite of the wilderness of Kinnemoth. Remember that the wilderness of Kinnemoth was a continual progress moving ahead to victory and to fulfillment. And so before they went to Moab, God said, okay, I want to bring you into a place of fulfillment. I'm going to bring you into a place of victory, and there you will receive your possessions. But the wilderness of Bethaven is a moving in the opposite direction from that which God wants. So any time that we move opposite of what God wants, we know it, right? We know what God wants. And we move in an opposite direction, then we are moving into the wilderness of Bethaven. Wow. Opposite, always of Bethaven. In light of this, it is interesting to note that Aven is translated idol in Isaiah 66 and 3. And we're going to go ahead and read that. Isaiah 66 and 3. He that kills an ox is as he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb as he had cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an obligation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burns incense as he blessed an idol. And that word idol there is Aven. Yea, they have chosen their own way. They have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Anytime we decide to go our own way, Isaiah also said we are as sheep. We have all turned to our own way. Wow. That's not what God wants in our life. And usually the beginning of that turning aside will lead us into idolatry. And we're going to look at that in a minute. Amen. This is not God's intention for our life. God's intention for our life will be found in the wilderness of Kinemoth. And that is a continual progress moving into victory and fulfillment. That is where God wants us to be, and that's what God wants us to be doing. Continually moving into victory and fulfillment. But you know, there's no neutral in God, and you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. I'm going to say that again. There's no neutral. There's no standing still. You can't stand still in God. Either you are doing what God wants you to be doing and you're moving forward. If you're not moving forward, then you're moving back. So, in an illustration here, either you're moving toward Kinemoth or you're moving towards Bethaven. Wow. Idolatry is moving or being away from God. Idolatry is moving away from God. In one part of the scriptural context, the wilderness of Bethaven is moving away from the inheritance which God has given us. Now, you know, we always think of, you know, we're going to inherit crowns and we're going to inherit all of these things that God has for us in the sweet by and by or in our next life. But that is true. But before we get to the sweet by and by in our next life, there are things, there are inheritance here that God has for us. There are things that God wants us to inherit now. There are things that God wants us to have so that we can move in them successfully in God that will enable us to go ahead and receive those things in a sweet by and by or in our next life. But if we are moving in the opposite direction from what God wants, then we will never ever get those inheritance. Amen? Kinemoth is just the opposite. A moving towards your inheritance. The obvious picture here is that the wilderness of Bethaven belongs to no Christian, no child of God. We must be careful. We must be careful and not get involved in idol worship. Now, I'm not talking about the graven images that like Dagon and Chemosh and all these other idols that you read about in the Bible. That's not the one that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about those, but I'm talking about those idols that we all have and that we raise up in our heart. Idol worship is always from the heart. It's always from the heart. And it's not a little statue that we put up there, but it's something that we raise up before God. Idols are always something of the heart. And if you have something that you put before God, I don't care what it is. Anything that comes before God that's in your heart, then that is idol worship. That's why John in 1 John 2:15, John tells us, love not this world. The older I get, the more, this is going to sound strange, but the more I hate this world. I do. The older I get, the longer I walk in God, the more I see how this world will destroy me, how this world will lead me, the things in me that have a hook in me that wants to go ahead and take me in the worldly way. Now, the world's not the earth. The earth is a planet, but the world is a system. And all of these things that feed my flesh that I want and, you know, that build me up and I get strong and do all of these things, that's not what God wants in my life. You know, I just hate that world and that system. It says, love not this world and the things in there. That's the problem. It's those things that we like, those things that we can idolize, that give us strength and power that we go after. Amen? Bethaven is a backsliding direction, a moving back, a withdrawing, a moving out from that which is promised. If you are moving back, that means you were here and you're moving back. Now, in God, if you're a Christian, if you're here, you're at this level of spiritual growth and development. But if you move back, that means you're going away from that level of spiritual growth and development. And that's what happens in our life. When we are walking with the Lord, and then all of a sudden we start drawing back or we start moving away from God, the first thing that is lost in our life is the work that God has been able to do in our life. Those victories, that work that God has built into your life that brought you to that level of spiritual growth and maturity, you start drawing back, and that's your choice. And then what is lost in that is that work that God has, did in your life. And for you to get back to where you were in God, God is going to have to work again in your life. This is clearly seen in our text, in the description of the portion of land belonging to the tribe of Benjamin, the leaving or the going out. And the going out, they went into Bethaven. Amen. When we do, when we do not do what God has promised us, again, there's no neutral, then we are moving away from God. Amen. Whatever that belongs to in us, in God, is in direct jeopardy of being lost. As I said, there are things that God wants us to inherit now on earth. Not our crowns and, all that other stuff. But right now on earth, as we are walking with the Lord, as we are doing things and He's using us, there are things that we need to inherit. And when we turn our back and we walk away from God, then what happens? Those things, those inheritance in the future, and the ones on earth that He has for us, they're being in jeopardy of being lost to disobedience. And the longer we walk away, the work of God is lost in our life. And people just keep walking and walking and walking away. And the next thing you know, they wake up one morning and they're in apostasy, or they wake up one morning and they have a retrograde mind and they have no desire to come back to the Lord. And I have seen that in so many lives. Amen. This leaving is the principle, the basic principle found in Bethaven. And our text of the physical inheritance is the point of application. In the realm of the spirit, inheritance, seen or unseen, will always be somewhere in the picture in relationship to the believer. Amen? Always be seen in the picture of the relationship to the believer. But remember, only those who overcome shall inherit. And you can check that out, Revelation 21. It says, only he that overcomes will inherit all things. So to be able to to inherit the things that God has for you, for us now, is for us to be able to overcome now on earth. And if we overcome now on earth, then in the sweet by and by, and in our next life, then we'll be able to overcome them. Amen? In the meaning of Bethaven, there is always wickedness involved, rebellion, walking contrary to the revelation of God, and the vanity of one's own mind. Remember when we looked at Bethaven there is a hint of vanity is tucked inside that. Amen? So that walking away, and that tells us what caused us to walk away, and that is the vanity of our own heart and our own mind. Whatever actions and causes us to do that is the picture, and physical and spiritual, in that leading. Amen? Last time I shared, I said, if the heart is wrong, the mind is wrong. So, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Well, you will never ever get that sound mind unless your heart is right. And here in Bethaven, causing someone to leave is because their heart is wrong, and then their mind is going to be wrong. I tell you, if your heart is wrong, you will never have a sound mind. James tells us that that a man that is double-minded is unstable in all of his ways. And the unstableness comes from the heart, not from the mind. Amen? So if your heart is wrong, then your mind will be wrong. Bethaven is the door through which you leave. Bethaven is the door in which you leave. The Bible does not say that it is this point through which you enter. We know that at this point, though, you can come into a geographical area. But in the Bible does not say that due to the fact that Father is waiting on us to focus upon a certain aspect by excluding certain aspects. This is clearly portrayed by the prophet Hosea. Amen? Hosea 4:15 and 16. Though Israel play the harlot, yet not Judah offered, and come not into Gilgal, neither go ye to Bethaven, nor swear. The Lord liveth, for Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a larger place. Wow. Many Christians are standing at the door of Bethaven today. Let me say that again. Many, many Christians are standing at the door of Bethaven today. Wow. Yes, they are. And that is sad. It is the point in the spiritual place where we walk away from God. Now, this is getting kind of deep here, and we really need to open up our spirit. It is the point in the spiritual place where we walk away from God due to the idolatry and the disobedience in our life. Putting those things in our life before the Lord. I'm going to talk about an area in my life, amen? I'm going to talk about an area in my life that just scares the jeebies out of me, amen? And I'm going to go ahead and move. Hosea addressed the divided nation here. Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. Israel was playing the harlot in the sight of Judah. And God warns, neither go ye up to Bethaven, nor to swear. Don't go in that direction which leads to Bethaven. Israel has backslidden and continues in that direction. Bethaven is seen as Judah's point of leaving, her backsliding, moving away from God. Idolatry was the scene of Israel's activity of worship while the swearing. So notice right there that Israel was leaving, was headed for heading toward Bethaven, but they were saying, "The Lord liveth, the Lord liveth." We must stop our direction before we get to Bethaven, amen? We must repent of our direction, and we must about face, and we must move back to the direction of our inheritance, and we must move in that direction. And the sad part here is, there are many, many people that go to church that thinking that they are saved. Many, many people that go to church and they thinking that they are saved. And that's what Hosea was saying right here. But, Judah thought that they were, doing the right thing and they were moving in God. But actually they were headed toward Bethaven, but they were saying, "The Lord liveth and the Lord will take care of us." Boy, as I said, this is dangerous, and we must be very, very careful in this area. Amen? Mm-hmm. Some parting thoughts. Leaving God for idols is very dangerous. Leaving God for idols is very dangerous. We are to avoid the wilderness of Bethaven. Let us move forward rather than moving backwards, so that the wilderness of Kinnamoth rather than the wilderness of Bethaven becomes to us as an experience. Now that is our choice. We can either move toward God or we can move away from God. That is our choice. Wow. I say that technology is bad because from my generation, I grew up with Green Army Men and Lincoln Logs, and it wasn't a technology thing. And technology can be an idol. I'm talking about me. Technology can be an idol to me. it can be an idol to me. And I would say many people in my generation, because we never had this fancy whiz-bang thing you hold in your hand and the computer and all of this good stuff. And this technology can really, really move us. And I know it's a tool, and that's usually the, well, it's a tool, you know, and you have to use it. But I will tell you, the more we go toward technology, the more we go toward technology, the less of God is going to be in us. Because either we're going to have those things of the world and the computer and technology, these are not of God. They are of the world. And the more we go toward technology, the more we go toward computers and AI and all of this stuff out there, the less of God is going to be in us. If I would say anything, I would say, take heed. Take heed, amen? Take heed. Yes, it's a tool, but it stands before God in my heart. It stands before God in my heart if I am not careful. Because I can just go toward it, and I can just go toward technology, and I can get the latest and greatest, and I can leave all those things, the ways I used to do things behind, because I can use this technology right here. But I'm speaking about myself now, but I know that that's not good for me. It's not what I need to be doing, because there is a love in my heart for that technology that will lead me out of God if I'm not careful. And I just know that for myself. Beth Haven is indicative of the condition portrayed by Israel. It was to be avoided by Judah. This historic situation is a lesson for us. In this next verse, 1 Corinthians 10, and we'll look at 6, 11, and 12, again, is the genesis for wilderness truth for modern times. And this is where Paul told the church at Corinth, now these things were our examples. He's talking about the children of Israel. He said, to the extent we should not look after evil things, as they also, so the children of Israel, they lusted after evil things, and they become an idol in their heart. In verse 11, now all of these things happen unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonishment. And that's the whole story of the wilderness, you know, spiritual truth for wintering times. And so they're written and so that we will not make the same mistakes, that we will not follow after them, upon whom the end of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. Amen. Mm-hmm. We must be careful. Things like I must be careful with things like technology, seemingly harmless and can do good for us, but it can also destroy us if we do not take heed and place a check in our heart. Thus, let him that stand, I think that he stand, take heed lest he falls. We are to take heed so that we do not make the same mistakes as the children of Israel. Now, they didn't have computers, and they didn't have all the stuff that we have today, but it was still the same spiritual conditions. And so Paul told the church of Corinth to study that from the Old Testament so that you today won't make the same spiritual mistakes, amen? So that we do not think we are greater than what we are. James 4:13, tremendous verse right here. Who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. Now, the word conversation in our life today is thinking, you know, and speaking and stuff like that. But that's not the way that word conversation is used. The word conversation is their acts and actions. And the conversation in his works with a meekness of wisdom. Amen? So we are to take heed. We are to take heed to ourselves so that we don't get out of God. When we think we're standing, oh, the Lord liveth, yeah, we're standing and all is well. In reality, we are not standing. We're headed for Beth Haven, as we saw with Judah, as we see with a lot of Christians that are in church today and they think they're, they think they're saved and they're not. You know, they've never had an experience with the Lord, but they go to church and, you know, they're happy about that. Well, that won't do much for them, amen. this is the place of not heading to Bethaven. Amen? This is the place. This is our safeguard. This is that check that we put in our life for us to take heed. Take heed to ourselves so that we don't get over in some areas, so that we don't get over into idolatry, so that we don't do things. And then we think we're standing, and the next thing you know, we are falling. In this place of taking heed is where we will prevent us from falling. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your mercy. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word, Father, Lord. We thank you, Father, Lord God, for building us, Father, Lord God, a desire to take heed to ourselves, Father, Lord God, in all kind of areas, Father, Lord God. For, Lord, we do not want to be headed to Bethaven, Father, Lord. We want to be headed to Kinnamon, Father. Lord, we want to be able to receive those things that you have for us now and then those things in our next life, Father, that you have for us. And we love you and we thank you, Father, Lord, that your words, Father, Lord God, will come alive in our heart, Father, Lord. And Lord, we will meditate on these words that we heard tonight, Father, Lord God, so that we may not sin against you. And we love you and we thank you, Father. And Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. 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 Amen.